Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream is one of his more famous fantastical comedies. It was put to music in 1826 by Felix Mendelssohn. The play has a treasure of subplots, including a group of actors who go to the woods to rehearse a play before a high-profile wedding, and the hijinks they're put through by forest fairies. Now substitute those actors with mariachis, insert a little ballet, stagecraft, and reggaeton, and you have a whole new production that not only nods to the Latino culture in Texas, but it's an entertaining hour for thousands of restless young children. The Austin Symphony Orchestra presents the world premiere of Midsummer in Marfa, a West Texas fairy tale, as part of its annual Young People's Concerts. It blends Mendelssohn's music for the play with original arrangements that bring all of Shakespeare's characters into today's Texas. Over 12,000 Austin 4th and 5th graders will hear and see this bilingual Tex-Mex multi-genre take on Shakespeare. It's a true San Antonio-Austin collaboration featuring the Austin Symphony, the Austin Shakespeare Theater Company, dancers from Austin's Ventana Ballet, San Antonio's all-female mariachi group Mariachi Las Alteñas, and San Antonio writer and actor Amalia Ortiz. We're talking today with Jeremy Brimhall, the Austin Symphony's Director of Education and Community Engagement, and San Antonio-based composer Federico Chavez Blanco, the composer and arranger for this production. Chavez Blanco says the collaboration began when he was working on his mariachi musical, Cenicienta, a quinceañera with a taste of Cinderella.
I met Jeremy through a common friend. I was working with my musical that involves mariachi, etc., etc. And we start talking about this project, and we start developing some ideas, and then pandemics hit, right? And we had to stop. It took us almost 4 years to finish or to get to this point. But I think we're in an ideal position because now it's the time to showcase part of our culture, part of the classical stage dances, and get the kids the opportunity to enjoy in just one show four different interpretations of art. That is dance, they're singing, we have a rapper also, and the orchestra. Some kids, they're never going to see a concert like this one or an orchestra again. So that's going to be something for them to remember.
And so this is a program that incorporates your original music, also the very famous music that Mendelssohn wrote for A Midsummer Night's Dream. How is that being incorporated into the concert? Is your original music, Federico, is it influenced by the Mendelssohn, or are you maybe using parts of Mendelssohn's incidental music or overture to your piece?
It was challenging because it's a universal work. Any orchestra plays it, plays the same way because it's a universal edition. So the idea was to not arrange the music, but incorporate or embed the mariachi in the pattern that Mendelssohn wrote the music in the early years. So it was challenging because I didn't want the musicians to get the orchestra musicians to start playing something that they're not used to. And I wanted the mariachi to get involved with the orchestra and at the same moment being able to be recognized as two different entities working for one common cause, that is getting that sound.
We'll be talking about the mariachi here in just a little bit, but Federico was just saying there's going to be dance and there's going to be other elements. What is the challenge, Jeremy, in bringing all these entities together? Because it's not just Federico. It's not just the Austin Symphony. You're involving other organizations as well. And you have to all have the timing perfect in order to present these concerts.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a lot of challenges. One, of course, is just the logistics of bringing everybody together on stage. You know, we as a symphony orchestra are mostly just normally focused on the musicians and what they need, you know, their chairs and stands on stage and their music and everything, and having a conductor and, you know, kind of full lighting. And now we're, you know, we're working, as you mentioned, with dance and mariachi. We've got a reggaeton artist, and so we need the stage extension at the Long Center. We need, you know, lighting design. We've got some props and costuming and different elements to be thinking about. And of course, really the focus of all of this is to present something that can be more culturally relevant to our majority Hispanic body of students that are coming to attend the show. So going the extra mile to try to really incorporate some things that might be more familiar to them, but also trying to walk a fine line where the symphony orchestra is still well represented in the show. And so, you know, lots of Mendelssohn being presented, but then also how Federico in such a wonderful way has taken, you know, some of the themes of Mendelssohn and incorporated these Latin dance elements and the mariachi in a way that I think is going to be really exciting for the students.
And I'll mention the D word, diversity. That is something that you normally don't see very often when you go to see a symphony orchestra. You don't see still too many people of color playing in orchestras. And the fact that there is so much music out there by composers of color, and this is, I think, a fantastic way to reach out and engage students who, even in the fifth grade or so, they may think, oh, Shakespeare, boring. But you're presenting it in this way that is entertaining, and it's music that so many of these families have grown up with. You really are sort of touching a cultural button. Jeremy, the challenges in presenting Shakespeare to this younger, new audience, you are giving it the sort of this cultural twist. How exactly are you presenting this act of Shakespeare to audiences, and why Marfa?
Yeah, so let me start with the second question first, why Marfa? So during the time that I was living in San Antonio and working as the director of education for the San Antonio Symphony, we presented over several years A Midsummer Night's Dream, young people's concerts that were Mendelssohn's music but had children's ballet as part of it. And we also had a special adapted narration that was, you know, sort of kid-friendly rhyming couplets that narrated the entire play. So not the original Shakespeare, which would have been a little less accessible, of course, for elementary students. And they were very successful and wonderful. But then got to thinking, well, how can we, you know, Shakespeare, Mendelssohn, but we've got this large Hispanic population that we're trying to serve, and students for whom these wonderful composers who are long dead might not resonate quite as much. How can we bring it to life in a way that's more locally flavored? And so I got to thinking, you know, how can we incorporate maybe some Latin dance or some Hispanic elements? How could we incorporate mariachi into the show and still keep the integrity of it? And immediately I thought of Federico, because he had just recently introduced me to his mariachi musical, Cenicienta. We got to talking, you know, how do you think we might incorporate mariachi into this performance and maybe some other elements? Well, in the original play, there's this group of hardworking townsfolk that moonlight as actors. And in the play, they're preparing a play within the play to perform at the wedding of the Duke. And so, well, what if we did, instead of actors, we did mariachi? Would that be cool? And instead of preparing a play, they're preparing to perform as mariachis do at a wedding. And that kind of took us down a road of, you know, what ifs. And originally I thought the setting could be San Antonio. But then, you know, a lot of the action in the original play actually takes place in the forest outside of the city of Athens. And so it's kind of out in the country, or out in the wild, as it were. And so I got to thinking, okay, well, maybe we need a smaller town where there's, you know, somewhere where they escape to and are getting lost out in the wild. And Marfa came to me immediately because my wife has some family out there, and I've been through a couple of times. And it being a smaller town, but one that a lot of people know about, and then that the forest could maybe become the desert. So instead of forest fairies, we have desert fairies. And instead of getting lost in the forest, it's getting lost in the desert. One of the neat things that I really enjoyed researching about as well is the original play mentions a lot of flowers and the sort of the flora and fauna of that forest that's supposed to be around Athens, Greece. So we did some research and came up with some names of flora and fauna that inhabit the Trans-Pecos region of the Chihuahuan Desert, where Marfa is. And so we've tried to adapt a lot of local names. And then another wonderful connection is that, you know, the fairies who are elusive and, of course, mostly invisible to human beings that live out in the desert, they become the explanation for the Marfa lights. So you never really see them, but sometimes you get glimpses of them out in the desert. So it's been many years putting this together and working with Federico, but it's been really exciting and I think has a lot of things that are falling into place neatly.
Jeremy Brimhall is the Director of Education and Community Engagement with the Austin Symphony Orchestra. We're also talking with San Antonio composer Federico Chavez Blanco about Midsummer in Marfa, a new multi-genre work that will receive its world premiere at the Austin Symphony's Young People's Concerts next month. When we come back, we hear from the all-female mariachi group that's a part of the production and the conductor who pulls it all together. Stay tuned to Fronteras.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Next month, thousands of fourth and fifth grade students in Austin will see Shakespeare reflect their culture in a way they never expected. Midsummer in Marfa is a bilingual Tex-Mex multi-genre take on A Midsummer Night's Dream. The Austin Symphony Orchestra will world premiere this true Austin-San Antonio collaboration at its Young People's Concerts. Midsummer in Marfa features the Austin Symphony, the Austin Shakespeare Theater Company, dancers from Austin's Ventana Ballet, San Antonio's all-female Mariachi Las Alteñas, and San Antonio writer and actor Amalia Ortiz. We've already been talking today with Jeremy Brimhall, Director of Education and Community Engagement with the Austin Symphony, and with Midsummer in Marfa composer and arranger Federico Chavez Blanco. Joining the conversation now are Angela Campos, musical director of Mariachi Las Alteñas, and Pablo Zamora, the Austin Symphony's assistant conductor. Zamora, a native of Costa Rica and a relative newcomer to Texas, says this program makes him feel right at home.
I'll be very honest, I was born for this. All of these rhythms that we're talking about in this show, both the Mendelssohn and the Latin American side, are worlds that I grew up in. I was exposed to classical music since I was a kid, but my father would blast cumbia at 7 a.m. on Sundays when he woke up early to clean the house. And we would have mariachis in the parties, mariachis in the funerals. Reggaeton was a thing. When I grew up, I was the first generation that reggaeton became a hit with. So all of these different rhythms kind of represent who I am as an artist. There is this tendency for classical musicians to kind of focus on one specific genre, but even in Costa Rica, I would always try to fight that. It's like, I actually grew up with all of these rhythms, and these are all fantastic music. Even in Costa Rica, classical music had, they were not open to Latin American rhythms, ironically, but I always fought against that. So when Jeremy explained me what we were doing, I was like, yeah, I got it. So it's been fascinating to me because then I'm kind of in the middle of these opposing worlds. Not opposing, of these worlds that outside seem opposing. But then at the end, we all want to make great music. We all need to groove. So when I had the rehearsal with Las Alteñas and with Amalia, things were very smooth, and of course it's smooth because they're a fantastic ensemble. So a great opportunity for me to showcase who I am because of all the crazy, fantastic confluences that happened while I was growing as an artist. It truly is an honor to be part of this team, to work with so many different artists and following Jeremy's fantastic vision. But also, I'm new in Texas. I've been living in Texas for less than a year. And in the year that I've been here, because of the family concerts and high school concerts, which we now call Beyond the Score, I've had to learn a lot of U.S. history in a short period of time. And something fascinating about Texas is that since its conception, it's been a place with people from all over the world. And so, yes, there is these mentions of Hispanic culture, but to be honest, it seems to me that we're representing Texas, that this play truly represents Texas. There is different people that will be speaking Spanish with different accents, just like when you go here in the street. You know, there's those of us that speak Spanish because we spoke Spanish growing up, like me, but then other people that learn Spanish as adults, and then the others that have kind of this Spanglish, and you're going to hear all of those different accents going on, and the English, and Marfa, and all the different sounds. So, sure, the Hispanic population, but to be honest, this is Texas. And to be part of this, this feels so much more than the sum of the individual parts. And hopefully we celebrate this fantastic state and all of its people.
And you also have experience working with young people, young musicians, young audiences.
Yes. So I come from Costa Rica, Sistema. That's where I started learning music. And I've been in music my whole life.
Can you explain to people who might not know what El Sistema is?
Oh, yeah, of course. So El Sistema is an orchestra-based pedagogical. It's hard to kind of say what El Sistema is. It's an orchestra-based, community-based pedagogical system that started in Venezuela, but that has basically taken over the world. So it's one of those things that the Venezuelan Sistema is not El Sistema. Each place has their own version of El Sistema. So I grew up, I learned the tuba, and I started as a conductor in a local music school that allowed me also to be part of a network where I was constantly touring Costa Rica and getting to know musicians my same age from around the country. And we were making music together all the time, all day long, but also traveling the country and connecting with community. So that developed a lifelong passion also with youth orchestras. For example, I also work with the Austin Youth Orchestra as their music director. But back in Costa Rica, again, I work with the National System of Music Education, Honor Orchestra. So these were kids from all over the country. And here in the United States, I've had the opportunity of working with the National Youth Orchestra twice, with the YOLA National Festival in Los Angeles, and then the Encuentro Festival, which was a orchestra made out of students from all over the world, from Sistemas all over the world, and it was put together by the Dudamel Foundation. So to conclude this very long intermission, I grew up in a context where classical music and community were not apart. They were the same thing. And to be able to be part of Jeremy's team and the Austin Symphony Orchestra, to be part of a team where they take the community engagement and the education concert so seriously, it truly is a privilege. It is a passion of mine. And I think that it's where art can really transform lives. Everyone who is in music or anyone who loves art does it because at some point early in their lives, they heard, saw, danced, experienced something that just blew your minds away. And, you know, there is that sparkling moment when you say, like, oh, my God, that is what I want to do with my life. That is what I'm trying to honor. I want, hopefully, these students and adults, anyone who sees this, just gets that spark and starts a lifelong appreciation of arts, not just classical music, because we have mariachi and we have dancers and we have singers. The plan is to just connect with art, because at the end of the day, connecting with art is a way of connecting with yourself. So, yeah, that's the goal And that's a little bit of what I'm trying to do.
Well, and Angela, being with Mariachi Las Alteñas, it's a really great sort of Austin-San Antonio collaboration that's going on. Federico, also San Antonio-based. Mm-hmm. So tell us how you were approached, how you and your group were approached to be a part of this children's concert.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for the invitation to share the story of this big collaboration and the fusion of all the different cultures, and especially putting mariachi right next to classical music and the awesome Austin Symphony. So thank you so much for the invitation. I think we were approached. I think Jeremy reached out, or somebody reached out to collaborate on this project. And it came at a time where mariachi is a little bit slower as far as like the seasonal stuff. So we just finished all the holidays, and January and February are normally kind of slow, so it kind of fell at the right time. And as a classical player myself, and as an educator, it just kind of, and then just listening to everybody's, you know, stories, it's just feels like it was meant for us to be a part of this project.
What is your instrument?
Violin.
So tell us about how you are working with sort of this original material, because people think, you know, mariachis, you have your standard repertoire of mariachi music, mm-hmm. and here you're working with original material. Tell mm-hmm. us about the learning curve and learning this new music and incorporating it with an orchestra.
Mariachi music is folk music, and so trying to intertwine it with classical music has definitely been a challenge, but it's a challenge that we are ready to step up and to represent, first of all, women, and represent mariachi culture, and then just to fuse, you know, the great culture of classical music and the mariachi music. So it has been a learning curve, because mariachi music has its own genre, but we're also kind of like the cover band. We play lots of genres. We play rock, we play classical, we play cumbias, we play lots of things. And our group in particular is a group that stands tall with fusing lots of genres. We play classical music, religious music, Christian music, and so it's just going to be awesome. It has been a learning curve, but definitely a challenge we're ready to face.
Well, tell us about the parts you're playing. Jeremy had told us earlier that the mariachis are sort of the new actors in this particular play. So what is Mariachis Las Alteñas' role? When kids are coming to see this show in March, when they see Mariachis Las Alteñas, you know, what is your role? What are you acting? What are you presenting?
Well, we are first starting as the actors and the musicians, right, in the beginning, kind of in our general, you know, wear and what we're wearing. And then we end up transforming into our formal suits. That is what we're going to present and play for the ceremony.
Have you ever played to an auditorium full of, you know, hundreds of 10-year-olds?
Well, as an educator of many years, 2 decades of education, playing and entertaining young children is not something new to us. But we're excited to make those deposits of memories in kids so that they can walk away with, you know what, there was something awesome that I experienced. And it was an all-female mariachi. I think we get that comment very often. They're like, I've never seen all females before. And then, oh my gosh, y'all play so awesome, and you sing your harmonies, and you all get along so well. So it's going to be a great opportunity to make, like I said, make those memorable deposits into kids and adults and anybody who has not, you know, been part of something like this, which is, I would say, probably one of the first.
And so, Jeremy, I'm going to say that it doesn't matter who you are when you show up. Like Angela was just saying, somebody will find something to be influenced, whether it's the dance, whether it's the music, whether it's the mariachi. There's something that somebody will pick up on and hopefully, you know, contribute to the culture in future years.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's the beauty of this production, that there really is going to be something for everyone. And then it's going to be difficult not to be engaged throughout the show. And of mm-hmm. course, that's always a challenge with fourth and fifth graders with their short attention spans. And mm-hmm. with the show, I mean, the music is fantastic. You know, the original Mendelssohn music, there's a reason why it's, you know, this timeless classic. And what Federico has done is really incredible. But then also having so much of the visual component, the different groups that are going to be on stage, of course, the mariachis and Amalia, who's playing Paquita as, you know, our new version of Puck, you know, the mischievous character from the original play. The actors that we've brought in with Austin Shakespeare, all of those elements are going to come together in a visual way to make it really a multi-sensory experience that I think is going to be unforgettable.
I'm very proud to be part of this team. Like Maestro Pablo mentioned, I was born in a household that you listen to classical music, you listen to Jorge Negrete, you listen to almost any kind of music. I remember seeing for the first time in Mexico the 1812 play with drill cannons and Maestro Mata conducting. And I was, I think, 8 years old. And that's what I want to communicate with these kids, because as you mentioned earlier, there's going to be one bite of the work that's going to stick to them the whole life. And if they are able to remember or to connect with that, for me, that's a great work as a team that we have accomplished.
Federico Chavez Blanco is the composer and arranger of Midsummer in Marfa, a piece that will receive its world premiere at the Austin Symphony Orchestra's Young People's Concerts next month. We also spoke with Jeremy Brimhall, Director of Education and Community Engagement with the Austin Symphony Orchestra, and with Angela Campos, Musical Director of San Antonio's all-female Mariachi Las Salteñas, and with Pablo Zamora, the Austin Symphony's Assistant Conductor. Midsummer in Marfa is a Tex-Mex bilingual take on Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. It includes the famous music by Felix Mendelssohn, original music by Federico Chavez Blanco, the Austin Shakespeare Theater Company, dancers from Ventana Ballet, Mariachi Las Salteñas, and San Antonio actor and writer Amalia Ortiz. Over 12,000 students will attend the Austin Symphony's Young People's Concerts March 3rd through the 5th at Austin's Long Center for the Performing Arts. We'll finish the program with a digital realization of an intermezzo composed for Midsummer in Marfa by Federico Chavez Blanco, provided to us by the composer. Thanks for joining us today for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marianne Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.